Children are dismissed for children's church at this time. Sorry we forgot that. Everybody knows that Elvis Presley died of a heart attack at age 42, August 16th, 1977, at his mansion in Graceland. Or did he? Because right now, one of Elvis's fan clubs claims that Elvis is still at Graceland at age 84 and posing as a groundskeeper there. And a spokesman named Vernon Dean said this about some pictures he took that supposedly prove it. Everybody can see that's Elvis. The way he's looking at the camera and making the victory sign on the left side of his head, that's him, signaling to us that he really is alive. Elvis is alive. Yeah, right. Folks, Elvis is dead. And the message of Easter is that Jesus is alive. But the problem is, we're living in a country that thinks that Jesus is dead and Elvis is alive. We're going to start changing that. We're going to start a series this morning at Fox River, a series called I Just Saw Jesus, looking at all the resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. Eyewitness accounts of people who really saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. Accounts that not only prove the resurrection is true, but that also call us to trust in Jesus and live for him, just like those people did back then. And we're going to start this series this morning by looking at Jesus' very first resurrection appearance, and that was to some of the women who followed him in his ministry. And to see that, we turn today to Matthew chapter 28 and verses 1 to 10. If you have their Bibles, turn there with me, please. Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. 'Greetings,' he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me.'" And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for the truth of the resurrection. I pray, Lord, that you would just show us this morning what that means for us, what we need to do in response to the fact that you have risen from the dead. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. By the time we get to this point in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus was crucified, he died on the cross, and his body was given to Nicodemus, who wrapped it in a shroud, placed it in a tomb, and rolled a stone in front of the door. Then Roman governor Pontius Pilate ordered that that tomb be sealed and guarded by a contingent of Roman soldiers. But our text today tells us that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and first of all appeared to these two women outside the tomb and changed their lives forever. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we can be transformed too if we respond to the resurrection in exactly the same way those two women did back then. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10, tells us three things that we need to do about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do about the resurrection, we need to rejoice, because that is literally what Jesus tells the women to do here in verse 9. That word greetings in the Greek literally means rejoice. Now, verse 1 tells us, after the Sabbath, at dawn, on the first day of the week. So regardless of all the people that like to sell books and all the Christians that want to claim that Jesus was really crucified on Wednesday, the Bible tells us Jesus was crucified on Friday, the day of preparation for the Sabbath, Luke chapter 23, verse 54, and then was raised from the dead first thing Sunday morning, the first day of the week. The Jews counted parts of days as a full day. So Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 3 days, Jesus rose on the third day. Now, all the other Gospels say there were more than two women who went to that tomb. Probably at least a half a dozen. But Matthew only mentions Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. The Jews had more Marys than Norwegians have Johnsons. So all the other Gospels claim that. Matthew doesn't. So all the other women stopped off at Dollar General to buy spices, while these two women went on just to look at the tomb. So they got there a lot earlier than the other ones did. But notice, that tomb was already empty. Because even before they got there, verses 2 through 4, there was an earthquake. There was an earthquake when Jesus died on the cross. There was an earthquake when Jesus rose from the dead. And an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and rolled the stone away from that tomb. Notice, the earthquake didn't roll the stone away. The angel rolled the stone away. But Jesus didn't pop out then like Punxsutawney Phil because he had already passed through the rock walls of that tomb before then. So the angel did not roll the stone away to let Jesus out of that tomb. The angel rolled the stone away to let the women look into that tomb and see that it was empty. Now, verse 4, the Roman soldiers were so scared, they didn't know whether to bake a cake or cut a watermelon. But verses 5 and 6, the angel spoke to the women and said, Jesus is not here, he has risen. Verse 6, come see the place where he lay. Notice lay, past tense, because Jesus wasn't laying there anymore. Folks, that tomb was as bare as Mother Hubbard's cupboard because Jesus wasn't there. Now, we realize as Christians and Bible believers, we do not have an account of what actually happened at the resurrection. The Bible only tells us what happened after the resurrection because God knows we'd never understand it anyway. So we don't have resurrection accounts. What we have are post-resurrection accounts. Nobody ever actually saw the rising Christ during the resurrection. What they saw was the risen Christ after the resurrection. So how do we know the resurrection really happened? Let me tell you. Because there is absolutely no other explanation for that tomb being empty. And believe you me, over the centuries, skeptics have come up with every kind of theory that you can imagine. Like the swoon theory, that Jesus only fainted and he wasn't really dead when he was placed in that tomb. Honestly, let me tell you about the weekend that Jesus had. He was beaten and whipped till he couldn't hardly walk. Crucified and nailed to a cross and stabbed in the side with a spear. Soldiers never broke Jesus' legs when he was on the cross because they knew he was already dead. Jesus' body would have never been given to Nicodemus by Pontius Pilate if Jesus hadn't already been dead. Yet we're supposed to believe that somehow inside that tomb, Jesus revived and came to, rolled away a 2-ton rock, whipped 16 professional Roman soldiers with his bare hands and then hightailed it into the hills. I don't think so. People, not even Captain Marvel could do something like that. Well, the people, they just went to the wrong tomb. No, because the women saw exactly what tomb it was that Jesus was buried in, Matthew chapter 27, verse 61. So there was no mistake in it. And even if they had gone to the wrong tomb, all the Jews had to do was go to the right tomb, pull Jesus' body out, parade it up and down the streets of Jerusalem, and Christianity is over before it ever started. Well, the Roman soldiers fell asleep, and the disciples stole Jesus' body while they were sleeping. First of all, there was a death penalty for Roman soldiers who fell asleep on guard duty. That's why they guarded that tomb in shifts, to make sure that there was always plenty of them awake. And we're supposed to believe that the disciples who ran like scared rabbits when Jesus was arrested somehow morphed into Ninja Turtles when he was buried. And why would the disciples steal Jesus' body? For the perks? Like prison and torture and murder? Folks, 10 of the 12 original disciples were martyred for preaching that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. So why would they die for something that they knew was a lie? Well, it was just a legend that grew up 30, 40, 50 years after it supposedly happened. No. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 and 6 list over 515 people who did see Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead. And that list the early church had even before the Gospel of Mark was written in 37 AD, only 4 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, while the people on that list were still alive to refute it if it wasn't true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. Folks, I could go on and on, but listen to me. Young people especially, I don't care what you ever hear in high school or college, nobody in the history of the whole wide world has ever proven that that tomb wasn't empty, nor have they ever produced the body or the remains of Jesus Christ, and they never will. And you know why? Because on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And that's exactly why Jesus wants us to rejoice in this text. Folks, that Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ popped out of that tomb and said, YOLO, speak for yourself. The greatest event in the history of all time, space, and dimension, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And yet too many of us Christians walk around looking sadder than R. Kelly on Valentine's Day. Where's the joy? Where's the rejoicing? Folks, we've got all kinds of evidence that proves the resurrection really happened. Maybe even more proof than we think. Luke chapter 24, verse 12 says, after the resurrection, the shroud that was wrapped around Jesus' body was left behind in the tomb. And the story goes, the disciples kept it and then passed it down to the church. And in 1390, that shroud was brought by some crusaders from Israel to Europe. And since 1578, it's been enshrined in a cathedral in Italy in a town called Turin. The Shroud of Turin is about 14 feet long, 3 feet wide, and it has the image of a man on it, front and back, a man who obviously has exactly the same kind of wounds that Jesus did when he was crucified. Now, most people just assume that any relic from the Middle Ages is about as real as a wooden nickel. But folks, the evidence for this proves otherwise. Pollen samples taken from that shroud come from 7 plants only found in the Middle East. That cloth is exactly the same kind of cloth that was used for burials in ancient Israel. The thread is hand-spun, and it was bleached before it was woven, which proves it really is ancient. And it obviously has the image on it of a man who was crucified, with nails through the wrists, not through the hands, just exactly like the Bible says, a wound in his side, whip marks on his back and the back of his legs, and nails through his feet. Darker stains show where the blood clotted around the wounds, which no forger could have duplicated. And there's an aura around every wound that showed how the blood separated from the hemorrhagic fluid after the person died. And here's the kicker. That shroud also shows there was some kind of a crown that made puncture wounds all around that man's head. And you tell me, what criminal has ever been crucified with a crown on his head? And all kinds of scientific tests have never disputed it either. There's no way in the world that image could have ever been made by paint, because a fire that touched part of that shroud in 1532 and the water that was used to put it out didn't discolor it at all. Ultraviolet light shows that that image is literally a photographic negative with light and dark reversed. And you tell me how anybody, centuries before photography was ever invented, could have made something like that. Fluorescent light shows that that shroud gives off three-dimensional data, which means it actually at one time was once wrapped around a human body. The conclusion of science about the Shroud of Turin: there is nothing known to mankind that could have ever produced that image. And experts who analyzed it for an episode of 2020 said the odds of that shroud being a fake are 10 million to 1. Now, is the Shroud of Turin the actual burial cloth of Jesus Christ? I don't know. If it is, it helps confirm the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in the Bible. But do we need the Shroud of Turin to be real to prove that Jesus Christ really rose from the dead? Of course not, because the only proof we need is the Word of God and the testimony of the Holy Spirit. So regardless of whatever physical evidence we may or may not have, we can rejoice because 1 Corinthians 15:20, Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. The first thing we need to do about the resurrection of Jesus, we need to rejoice. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We not only need to rejoice, we also need to worship Jesus, because that's exactly what these women do when they first see him here in verse 9. And notice, in order to worship Jesus, those women didn't take off and run back home and start baking a ham and invite the family over for dinner and an Easter egg hunt and chocolate rabbits. Verse 9, they bowed down to him and they hugged his feet. And it wasn't traditional, it wasn't contemporary, it wasn't Hillsong, no words spoken at all, but it was worship. Because it wasn't just Jesus now, it was glorified Jesus. And notice, Jesus let them do it. And not only so that they would know he wasn't just a ghost, but also because the risen Jesus Christ is worthy to be praised. And folks, we better be praising Jesus risen from the dead, because do we have any idea what it would mean if Jesus hadn't risen from the dead? Talk about being in a world of hurt. Jimmy Kimmel said this, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, but that doesn't matter, because even though he's really dead, everything he stood for and all the good things he started will always live on. People, it's baloney. If Jesus Christ is still dead, then everything he stood for and everything he started is dead too. Dead as a hammer. If Jesus rose from the dead, that proves he's God. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, it proves he's a lunatic because he said he was God. If Jesus rose from the dead, then he's the Spirit of truth. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, he's the biggest liar, liar, pants on fire in the world because he said he would rise from the dead. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19. If Jesus never rose from the dead, then he's not the Savior. Because Acts chapter 2, verse 36 says, the resurrection not only proved that he was the Lord, but also the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. If Jesus is still in the grave, then we're still in our sin and dealing with the effects of sin. See, Jesus not only had to die to pay the price for our sin, he also had to rise from the dead to cancel the penalty for our sin, which would have been our death. So without the resurrection, even if we could be forgiven of our sins by faith in Jesus Christ, when we died, we would just stay dead. Dead as a doornail. All dressed up and no place to go. And our salvation would be absolutely meaningless. But Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Jesus not only was crucified for our transgressions, he was also raised to life for our justification, so we would be made alive, just as if we had never sinned and had no death penalty at all. Do we see how critical the resurrection of Jesus Christ really is? And are we worshiping him for that reason? We worship people. Last March the 1st, free agent Bryce Harper signed a 13-year contract with the Philadelphia Phillies for $330 million. Now, folks, I love sports as much as anybody in this room, but a third of $1 billion for a man to hit a ball with a wooden stick. People worship things. See, last Wednesday was not Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. The world said it was National Oreo Cookie Day. Something important. See what's being worshipped now? We worship in Jesus Christ for the fact that he rose from the dead. We worship Jesus Christ because the resurrection proves Christianity is the only one true faith. And if you don't agree with me, you tell me. What founder of any other faith system anywhere in the world throughout the history of the world was God, who came to this earth in human form, died to pay the price for our sins, and then rose from the dead to prove that it was all true? I'll hang up and wait for my answer. Only God, only Jesus Christ did that. Because all the other faith systems say we have to save ourselves. They have no need whatsoever for a God to come down and save us. And because of that, they all deny who Jesus Christ really is. Judaism says Jesus was just a false teacher. Hinduism says Jesus is just another avatar, another holy man, like millions and millions and millions of others. Muslims say that Jesus was a prophet of Islam, and yet Muslims still take every opportunity they can to slam Jesus and disrespect him. The hill in Jerusalem where Jesus was crucified was called Golgotha, or place of the skull, because the crevices made it look like a human skull. But at the bottom of that hill and on the other side is the garden tomb, upper right-hand corner, where Jesus was buried and rose from the dead. And there's a sign out in front of the garden tomb that says this, Romans 1:4, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection. Now, that whole area, Muslims are trying to take control of. And without the permission of the Israeli government, they built, upper right-hand corner, a 15-foot-high wall on top of the garden tomb as part of a Muslim cemetery to bury their dead terrorists. So, Islamic terrorist graves on top of the garden tomb of Jesus Christ. Talk about disrespect. And to stick it to Christians even more, on that wall of that cemetery, the Muslims put two signs that say this: Cemetery for the brave Mujahideen freedom fighters. And the other sign says this: There is only one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. Take that, Jesus. And the Muslims even had plans to build a minaret in that cemetery on top of Golgotha, the very spot where Jesus was crucified. They were going to put a prayer tower. But what do you know? 2 years ago, a really bad storm caused part of that hill to collapse. So today, it looks more like this. And because that happened, right now, that ground is so unstable, the Muslims had to cancel all their plans for a prayer tower. Christians, don't let the Muslims kid you. Jesus Christ, our God is God. We need to worship Jesus Christ because the resurrection proves that there is life after death and guarantees there's only two places we can go when we do die, and that's either heaven or hell, because Jesus went to both of those places when he died. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. And which place you spend eternity in is all determined by whether or not you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. John chapter 5, verse 29, Jesus said, after death, believers will rise to abundant life. Unbelievers will rise to be condemned and go to hell. So because of our sin, every single one of us born this way is going to hell. But if we repent of our sin and trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, trust that His death on the cross paid the price for our sin and rose from the dead to guarantee it, then we'll go to heaven. The day that Jesus rose from the dead was a Jewish festival called First Fruits, first Sunday after Passover, when Jewish farmers would offer the first sheaf of wheat, the first fruits, as an offering to God. That wheat guaranteed there was more wheat to come. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 says, Jesus Christ is the first fruits of those who die and fall asleep. In other words, Jesus' resurrection guarantees there's more resurrections to come. Jesus was the first one to die and rise from the dead and go to heaven. After him, those of us who believe in him, when we die, we'll rise from the dead and go to heaven too. And listen to me. You better make sure that that's going to happen to you, because you have no idea when you're going to die. Last Tuesday, Jeopardy host Alex Trebek announced that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Folks, your chances of living even 2 years after that diagnosis, I don't care what kind of treatment you have, is less than 3%. None of us, not one of us, has any idea when death is going to happen. So the only thing we can do is be ready for it whenever it does happen. Are we? Last Friday afternoon, February the 15th, about 1 o'clock, at the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora, management was in a meeting in the process of firing an employee named Gary Martin when all of a sudden he pulled out a .40 caliber Smith & Wesson and started shooting. Killed 4 co-workers in that room, ran out on the floor of that plant, shot even more people, including 5 police officers who were responding to the scene before he was eventually shot and killed himself. People, what a horrible, horrible thing. One of the dead was 21-year-old Trevor Wainer, a student at Northern in DeKalb who was doing his first day of internship at Henry Pratt. Another one who was killed in that meeting room was the plant manager, Josh Pinkard, 37 years old. He and his wife, Tara, and their three kids had just moved up to this area from Alabama less than a year ago. But 1:24 that afternoon, Tara got a text on her phone from her husband that said this, "I've been shot at work. I love you." And she had to read that over and over again before it finally hit her. It was real. And when she tried to text back and call back and FaceTime back, he never responded. And when she called the plant, the receptionist said that she herself was barricaded in an office because police were sweeping the building because there was a live shooter. So Tara jumped in the car, grabbed her kids, they flew to the plant, ended up going to two different hospitals before she finally found out her husband was dead. That's why he never responded. Josh Pinkard was dying on the floor of that meeting room, and yet he used the last bit of energy, last bit of presence of mind that he had to text his wife to tell her one last time that he loved her. This is what Tara Pinkard said. "I want to shout from the rooftops about how amazing Josh was. He was brilliant, the smartest person I ever met, and my best friend. The man who was dying and yet sent one last text to let me know he would always love me. This unbelievable person was robbed from us." Now, the good news is Josh Pinkard was a born-again Christian who trusted Jesus as his Savior. And everybody who knew him said he was legit because he not only talked it, he walked it. So Josh Pinkard knew, and all of his family knew, the very nanosecond he closed his eyes in death, he went to heaven to be with Jesus. Folks, listen to me. None of those people, absolutely none of those people, had any idea what was going to happen to them that day. And I guarantee you, the very last thought on their mind that day was being shot and killed at work. But it happened. And you know what? One of these days, death is going to happen to you too. Someday, some way, somehow, somewhere, unless Jesus comes first, you're going to die. Your fault, somebody else's fault, fair, unfair, expected, unexpected, young, old, doesn't matter at all because you'll still be just as dead. Look at those pictures and take a lesson. Not one of us is guaranteed any certain amount of time, not even the next 30 seconds. Which means when that time comes, you better be ready. You better know what you believe. You better know that what you believe is the truth. You better know where you're going. You better know where you stand with God. You better have already trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because after death, it'll be too late. Josh Pinkard made his decision ahead of time. A family friend said this at his funeral. "No matter what, we have all the reasons in the world to worship Jesus. We worship Him because Josh is home. So we worship Jesus just like Josh is worshiping Him now." So the only question is this morning, are you going to spend eternity worshiping Jesus Christ? Or are you going to spend eternity regretting that you never worshiped Him at all? The second thing we need to do about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we need to worship Him. We go on this text, we see a third thing that we need to do about the resurrection. We not only need to rejoice, we not only need to worship Jesus, but third, we need to go tell somebody. Because that's exactly what the women are told to do here, like a broken record. In verse 7, the angel tells the women, "Go tell the disciples that Jesus will go ahead of them into Galilee." In verse 10, Jesus says to the women, "Go tell to my brothers, I'll see them in Galilee." And notice, the women didn't even stop to take a selfie with Jesus by the tomb and upload it on Facebook. They immediately obeyed and did exactly what they were told. They put their running pants on and they made a beeline for the disciples. Verse 7 through 10 here in the original Greek is all about hurry and suddenly and quickly. The Holy Spirit wants us to have exactly the same kind of urgency. Go, 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 and tell somebody about the resurrection. But the question is, what is this deal with Galilee? You'd think that everything the disciples and Jesus had been through, they'd want to meet up in Cabo or Disneyland for some R&R or some downtime. Why go to Galilee? Because Galilee was the Galilee of the Gentiles. Because it was crawling with all kinds of non-Jews and foreigners from all over the Roman Empire. But see, that's exactly why they needed to go there. See, Matthew is writing to Jews, trying to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah, who fulfills Old Testament prophecy. And in Matthew chapter 4, verses 15 to 17, Matthew tells the Jews that Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. The people in Galilee were living in spiritual darkness, but they would see a great light. Matthew says that light is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who was from Galilee and grew up there and did most of his earthly ministry there. Jesus needed to go back to Galilee as the risen Savior to fulfill that prophecy. And the reason the disciples needed to meet him there is because Galilee was the doorway to the world. And what helped the disciples realize the gospel wasn't just for Jewish people, it was for everybody. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ would shine out from Galilee all over the world, just like Isaiah said, because the disciples would get the Great Commission in Galilee and start spreading the gospel all over the world. Just like we Christians are supposed to be doing too. Go, 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 and tell somebody about the resurrection. But, Matthew says, there'd be opposition. And for the disciples, it was this conspiracy that was cooked up by the chief priests and the Roman soldiers in verses 11 to 15. The Jews and the Roman soldiers knew, they knew that Jesus Christ had risen from the dead. But verses 12 to 14, they tried to cover it up. The chief priests told the Roman soldiers, just lie and say that you fell asleep and that the disciples came and stole Jesus' body while you were sleeping. And they bribed them with all kinds of hush money to keep it quiet and said, don't worry about the death penalty from Pontius Pilate. We'll square things with Pilate. Folks, there's more collusion going on there than the whole Jesse Smollett case. And this lie that the disciples stole Jesus' body while the Roman soldiers were sleeping, that lie was going around in Matthew's day. That's why it's included in this gospel. An ancient Christian historian named Justin said that lie was going around in the second century. And folks, that lie is still being recycled today, just exactly like verse 15 says here. Opposition. There's all kinds of opposition to the resurrection today, and it's everywhere. That book, Gospel of Judas, claims that Jesus never really rose from the dead because Jesus was just a con artist. The book, Jesus Papers, again claims that Jesus wasn't dead when he was buried in the tomb. Da Vinci Code claims that all of us pastors, we know the inside story. We know what's going on. Jesus really didn't rise from the dead. But see, all pastors purposely keep that a secret from you. Like U.S. presidents do about the aliens in Area 51. No. Sadly enough, a lot of people today who are resurrection deniers are also people who claim to be Christians. George Barna tells us 60% of all people in America today who claim to be Christians still believe that Jesus is 6 foot under somewhere. That he's dead. John Dominic Cresson of the Jesus Seminar said this. Jesus, regardless of where his corpse ended up, is dead and remains dead. But the idea and the myth of the risen Christ can still inspire. I disagree. Folks, if the risen Christ isn't really risen, he can't inspire diddly squat. My old religion professor at Illinois Wesleyan University, Dr. James Whitehurst, told us that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whether it's real or not, is something that Christians can agree to disagree on. We cannot agree to disagree on the resurrection because Romans chapter 10, verse 10 says, if you don't believe in the resurrection, if you do not believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you can't be saved. You can't be a Christian. Folks, without the resurrection, Christianity is absolutely worthless. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, without the resurrection, our faith is in vain and our preaching is in vain. So let's just close the church, throw your Bible in that dumpster on your way out to the car. We'll start sleeping in on Sunday mornings and party like there's no tomorrow. Because there isn't. No. Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. So tell somebody. And folks, I guarantee you, people today are literally dying to hear that. 70% of all teenagers today claim that they're suffering from depression. Two out of three millennials today say they are crippled by fear and anxiety. And even though they have hundreds of friends on Facebook and thousands of followers on Twitter and spend hours on end scrolling through their happy Instagram pictures, they're killing themselves in record numbers. And the world just eggs it on. Right now on social media, there's the Momo Challenge, upper right-hand corner, this demonic bird-like thing that challenges people to do certain tasks that get more and more difficult as they're completed until eventually Momo tells you to commit suicide. And how many people have already died because of that? Folks, don't tell me that people today don't need to hear about a God who loved them so much He died to fix all their failures and then rose from the dead to give them real life and to be with them forever. Tell somebody. St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Luke Weaver is a Christian today because years ago when he was 14 years old, standing in line to get into a grunge concert, a believer came up to him and asked him this question, "Do you want to go meet some normal people?" And took him to a Bible study. Actor Kirk Cameron got saved when he was 14 years old. But he had a girlfriend back then whose father had enough guts to tell a famous TV actor that his life was meaningless without Christ and invited him to church. 28-year-old Blair Neal from Sandusky, Ohio, has led almost 400 people to saving faith in Christ in just the last 2 years. You know how she does it? Every time she goes into a Walmart store, she purposely stands in the longest checkout line. So there are always the most possible people to witness to. And she knows they're not going to walk away from her when she's talking to them because they don't want to lose their place in line. You want to celebrate Easter this year like God wants you to? Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Because you have no idea when they're going to need it the most. Last Christmas Eve, LaShawn Wilson from Beauregard, Alabama, got saved watching Franklin Graham on TV. And then she led her husband and her 72-year-old mom to saving faith in Christ too. And good thing, because last Sunday, March the 3rd, monster tornadoes tore all through that part of Alabama. And one of the hardest hit places was Beauregard, where an F4 tornado almost a mile wide with winds over 200 miles an hour touched down and traveled on the ground for over 70 miles and destroyed so many homes and businesses, Beauregard looked like a nuclear war zone. 23 people killed, over 90 people injured, the deadliest tornado in America since May of 2013. And that tornado came so fast, the residents of Beauregard had less than 5 minutes to run for cover. Well, LaShawn Wilson and her husband heard the tornado siren go off. They grabbed their little boy and headed for LaShawn's mother's house about 2 blocks away, praying all the way, "Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us." Got inside that house just as they heard the sound of the train, grabbed mom, ran into the bathroom, got down on the floors. That house started to explode all around them. And everything in that house started to get sucked up in the air and thrown away, furniture and appliances and pipes and siding, you name it. Sucked up and thrown about a half a mile away, those people in that bathroom, clinging to that bathtub for dear life, crying out, "Jesus, help us, Jesus, help us." And right when everything in that house was sucked away, including the bathtub that they were hanging on to, they said all of a sudden it felt like a giant hand came down, piled them up on top of each other, and then pressed down on them to counteract all the suction. Held them down while everything in that house was flying away like Dorothy in the Wizard of Oz. Pinned them to the floor until that tornado passed and the storm was over. The picture you see right there is where mom's house used to be. Nothing left but the cement foundation. And you know the incredible thing? Not one of those people, even though all the flying debris, even though they were in a house that was completely blown to smithereens by an F4 tornado, not one of those people had one scratch anywhere on their body. This is what LaShawn Wilson said. When everything was blowing up, something that just felt like the big hand of God came down and stacked us up like dominoes and started pressing down on us, keeping us safe down on that floor until the storm passed. We couldn't hold on anymore, but Jesus kept holding on to us. We know that so many other people died, and we are so incredibly humbled to think that Jesus spared us and kept us alive for some special purpose. Thank God. Thank God somebody told them about Jesus. And folks, when the storms of life and these last days roll through and people don't have anything at all left to hang on to, Jesus Christ can hang on to them. And you know why he can do that? Because 2,000 years ago on that first Easter Sunday, Jesus Christ raised himself from the dead. And a God who can do that can do absolutely anything. Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus says, "Do not be afraid. My hand will be upon you. Because I once was dead, but now I am alive forever and ever." Let me ask you this morning. Do you have faith in Jesus Christ? And do you know what faith really is? See, faith is not just a shot in the dark or a blind leap or trying to convince yourself of something that's impossible. Faith is simply taking a step in the direction the evidence points. And we do that with all kinds of things, big and small, every single day of our lives. I brought a water bottle with me this morning. Now, could the water in this bottle have been poisoned? It probably could have been. But see, I do a formal assessment of all the evidence. This water bottle came to me sealed, which means nobody had ever opened it before. And I look, I see the water looks clear, like nothing has ever been added to it. And it's got a label on it that says Nestle, which is a pretty reputable company. And this water bottle was given to me by Miss Linda Ness, who cares about me, and as far as I know, has no desire to see me dead. And when I open it up and smell it, it smells normal, like nothing has been put into it. So, based on all the evidence, I take a step of faith, and I take a sip of water. In the same way, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Follow the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus predicted it. The Bible records it. The angels attested to it. There is no other explanation for the empty tomb, the existence of the church, or 2 billion Christians in the world today. Follow the evidence in the direction it points. And today, you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much that you have risen from the dead. Lord, you are in our lives. You've got an incredible future for us, all of us who believe. I pray for somebody here today, somebody listening to this message that does not know you, who is not trusting you. They do not know what's going to happen to them, where they're going when they die. Just ask and pray, Lord, that they would put their faith in you, the blood you shed on the cross. And Lord, they would just have that assurance of salvation. Just thank you, Lord, for the glory that you have prepared for us, what's coming. See us through this life, Lord, with that message in our mouths for other people. Jesus is the risen Savior. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.